What's up, y'all, and welcome back to Dad Needs to Talk. I'm your host, Robert, and today I'm going to be sharing my thoughts on the movie American Fiction, the game Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League, and it's all going to be wrapped up in the topic of simple taste. So, as always, thank you so much for dropping in. Hope everybody out there is doing well. If this is your first time here, then welcome. But if you're a returning listener and or watcher, then welcome back. Y'all know here at Dad Needs to Talk, it's all about fatherhood and family, manga, anime, TV, movies, and video games. Now, I hope everybody out there is doing well. It's crazy, man. We're about to hit the midway point of freaking February of 2024. It just feels like the days and time is just going by in a blur. But overall, life is going solid. My kids are about to wind down the basketball season for eighth grade. And I have a very fun topic about that I'll do at a later point. Just cause it's kind of interesting watching and comparing how they are in athletics and stuff, whatever, and the structure of it within a big city metroplex area like where we live in versus like where I came from, a very small country town. To where, you know, and like I said, I'll get into this more in depth in a later episode, but just the general thoughts of a lot of kids, this would be their last time playing basketball, potentially, whatever, because, you know, like I said, me growing up in a small town, it was kind of like, okay, hey, even if like I was on B team or whatever in seventh grade and maybe eighth grade, I don't remember. And then, hey, but eventually, you know, I still got to play ninth grade and then JV and varsity, all that stuff, whatever. But now with there being so many kids, so many schools and stuff, to where the kids, because you used to be, for at least for me growing up or whatever, middle school is when a lot of people kind of started sports. Like, it was super rare back in the day for you to have much experience of, like, you know, peewee or little league or whatever, growing up or whatever. And so a lot of people, like, yeah, there was like some people that did get to play early on, but I feel like the majority of people all kind of started together in seventh grade and then went on from there. But nowadays it's like, because, like, example, like my kids, they've been playing since they were 5 or 6 years old, and now they're 14, 15 years old. And it's like, you can immediately pick out in the crowd or when you're watching the middle school game of who has been playing and then who are the new kids or whatever. And so it kind of makes things kind of crazy to where when my kids next year get into like the high school level of stuff, it's going to really start to like splinter them off to where some of them might immediately play on varsity, some might play on JV, some might play on ninth grade, and then some is just going to be no. Because I feel like the ninth grade team is going to be like maybe the best of B team and the worst of A team, because a lot of the other kids, like the best people of the A team, will be playing on maybe JV or varsity or whatever. So it was just kind of like, just interesting, just thinking about like some of the kids that are kind of maybe still new to this or whatever, just they're just going to get naturally just filtered out or whatever, unfortunately, just because, like, even just like in our area is small, it's like a small corner of the bigger DFW metroplex, but even for us, we have 5 middle schools funneling into 2 high schools. So you already try to do the math and the numbers on that, and the number of positions at the 2 high schools or whatever for sports stuff, whatever. And it's like, some of y'all gonna be weeded out. So, but anywho, like I said, that'll be a deeper discussion for a future episode and stuff. So, but overall, life has been solid. Valentine's Day is coming up in a couple of days. We're also, by next time I get to record, hopefully, who knows what things might look like with whatever news that Microsoft is going to share. I hope that they do it on Monday or Tuesday and not wait until the back half of the week or whatever. So, but we'll see where things go from there. But anyway, don't want to drag this on because it's already late. Me and the kids and the family watching the Super Bowl or whatever. I had no snake in the game either way, so it's kind of like whatever, whoever won. But like I said, I just wanted to talk on these couple of topics today. So I'll go in and jump in. And so, like I said, before I get to, or like I said, like the kind of topic or theme I want to touch on is simple taste. And what I mean by that is that sometimes, yes, we might know or be aware that, like, hey, there is something of a higher quality that might taste better, might look better, might play better, etc., etc., etc. Sometimes we just have just those kind of like that comfort garbage we like to consume. And you know, the kind of example I use, I was telling my wife when I was telling her about the topic a while ago, is that sometimes, like, yes, I know there is some really good food I could go and get, some very high quality Chinese food, but every now and then I want my reliable trash that is Panda Express. And it is what it is, you know. It's just like, it's like, yes, we all know it's not no secret that Panda Express is not nowhere near the top of the food chain when it comes to good Chinese food, but sometimes it is just like a reliable comfort, you know. And I feel like we all have that for TV shows, books, manga, anime, video games, etc. And so this kind of came to mind again when I watched American Fiction. So for those who don't know, so American Fiction is a movie starring Jeffrey Wright. It has a very awesome cast. It's got freaking Jeffrey Wright, Tracy Ellis Ross, Issa Rae, Erica Alexandra, who I hadn't, well, I've probably maybe seen her in passing, but hadn't really thought about her since she played Maxine back on Living Single back in the freaking 90s. But yeah, Sterling K. Brown and Keith David. It's got like a very dope cast of characters. But the basic premise of this movie is that Jeffrey Wright's character is a author. He writes some very fantastic novels and stuff, but they just don't sell. They are of the highest quality, fantastic storytelling, writing, etc., but they do not sell. And so he ends up beginning to write this book as kind of in a way of proving a point of how sometimes some of the most popular best-selling things, whatever, are things that are probably trash, you know, in the grand scheme of things, whatever, but that's the stuff that people eat up. And so he starts writing this book after he goes to this convention where he did a panel with some other writers and stuff, but it was only like a handful of people in the audience, and he asked one of the dudes, he was like, hey, does this feel like a small crowd even for this event? And then they were like, oh yeah, well, everybody's over at this other Centaura, who is Issa Rae's character, over at her panel or whatever. And so she was reading an excerpt from the book, whatever, sounded very hood and ghetto and stuff, whatever, from the verbiage of how it was written and stuff, whatever. And so, like I said, he started writing a book kind of in that same vein, and it ended up getting picked up. They started offering this dude hundreds of thousands of dollars for a book deal. They wanted to immediately turn it into a TV show, all this stuff, whatever. And it was kind of like a joke that went too far, so to speak. And so, like I said, that just really made me circle back to this idea and stuff, whatever, of just like, hey, sometimes we can create the most finely tuned and crafted, big-brained content or video or book or whatever, but it might not be what the mass market wants. It's like, yes, you might find your very small community, whatever, dedicated readers, watchers, etc., whatever, but it's not going to hit those big time numbers like some of this other stuff, whatever. And it kind of made me think about how, you know, there are certain YouTubers and stuff I've followed for years, and it feels like every few months they are doing freaking power scaling videos, or oh, top 50 strongest characters in One Piece, or top, you know, 10 strongest abilities in this series, whatever. And it's just like the same stuff over and over and over and over and over and over and over. And then it's like, hey, I'm over here talking about this very cool manga most of y'all have never heard about, but it is super good. And then it's like, I know, maybe get a few views or whatever. And then it's like, oh, hey, person did another top 10 strongest characters in whatever mainstream Naruto, whatever. And they get thousands, hundreds of millions of views or whatever. But that is just kind of the nature of the beast and stuff. So, but yeah, and it kind of made me also think about, and like I said, I'm going to talk more specifically in depth about both American Fiction and Suicide Squad a little bit later. Check for the timestamps of those. But just to kind of talk on this topic right now with Suicide Squad, I feel like that also really fits this theme of what I'm talking about, to where I never really had any grandiose dreams of like, yeah, this is going to be the next biggest and greatest thing in the world. I just saw it as a, hey, this is just going to be a fun game where I can just turn off my brain, be in the DC universe, whatever, and see these characters that I've enjoyed growing up, whatever. Not necessarily being a big comic book nerd, but I've watched, you know, Batman the Animated Series. I love the Batman Arkham games and lots of other stuff in between. The Harley Quinn show, so much stuff. And so when I saw, okay, hey, Rocksteady, the people that made the Batman Arkham games or whatever, are doing something new in the same universe or whatever, I was like, okay, I'm going to give it a shot or whatever. And then when I played the closed alpha end of last year or whatever, I was like, okay, this is cool. There is something fun here. And so it's just been interesting watching the game get all these crazy little reviews and people crapping on it and stuff, whatever. And it's like, yes, I get it. You're disappointed that this isn't the thing you were thinking or hoping or whatever. But just taking it at face value for what it is fun. I have somehow found myself, I've already put in almost 10 hours into it. Which is kind of crazy, because most of like the review discussion I saw running was like, yeah, the game, you know, you'll be done with the story in, you know, 8 to 12 hours or whatever, yada yada yada. And I'm like, I'm almost 10 hours in, and I just had my first boss battle against one of the Justice League members or whatever. And it's like, okay, I still got, you know, how many Justice League members left to potentially go through, and then some other stuff. So it's like, okay, I'm cool. I've already gotten 9 hours out of it or whatever. But, you know, but like I said, I think it also just has a mix of expectations and stuff with all of these things, to where sometimes, while I know it's easier said than done, but it's like comparing something to what might have came before, or putting the weight and pressure of something that started over a decade ago or whatever. And it's like, I get that, but also try to look at it as just what it is on its own too or whatever, with of course that stuff taken into account or whatever. But yeah, but this game kind of just fits into just this kind of fun, in the best way, fun garbage, trash. Not in a bad way, but like I said, in the way of Panda Express, where it's like, hey, this is something that is fun and comforting to this whatever. And yes, it has some problems and stuff, whatever, and some critiques, but it is far from the worst thing I've ever played, far from the worst thing I've ever consumed. And so, but like I said, I think that's just me having an open mind to things like that. And I think that's kind of what it takes sometimes when we approach certain stuff, is to have the open mind and, like I said, just kind of know what were we looking to get out of this thing. Like I said, going back to the Panda Express thing or whatever, it's like, hey, I want something that's fairly cheap, but I know tastes decent, that will satiate me, get me full, and I will have some leftovers for a little bit later or whatever. So that's something I can go to, whatever, versus, yeah, I can go somewhere, spend maybe a little bit more money, and it might taste better, but then it's like, okay, I'm going to be hungry again, you know, in an hour or so, you know. So, but that's like I said, just something that was just kind of on my mind, nothing super big and crazy about it, but I think there is room for all of these things to coexist. We can have the best looking thing, we can have the best playing thing, we can have the greatest novels in the world, but alongside those, we can also have some more simpler things, even if it's just something to at least kind of like get people in the door, you know, to where it's like with like a lot of, you know, anime and manga stuff, whatever, a lot of the general population or the average consumer will go for, as they call it, the kind of meathead action, crazy fight stuff, whatever, flashy, that's going to catch your attention or whatever, and that's going to get you in the door, and then hopefully, eventually, maybe you'll find something else that's like, oh, what's that over there, and you'll find yourself enjoying a slice of life show, or a thriller, or a sports series, or whatever. And so yeah, so like I said, same thing for Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League, to where like, okay, hey, we got you in the door, now what else is around that might pique your interest, where it could even just start off as like, hey, other games that are maybe kind of like this, or like I said, just like, hey, if you like this, you might also be interested in these Batman Arkham games, if you never play them, so to speak, whatever, just as a example. But like I said, I feel like it is okay for all of these things to coexist, and that sometimes what you are making, what you are doing, isn't the problem. It is like, yes, you are making good, high quality stuff, but you're just not finding a big audience, I guess I should say. You are finding a audience, because you might be getting a few views or whatever. Because I'll even take myself, for example. Not saying that I have the highest budget, highest quality podcast or YouTube channel or whatever out there, whatever. Far from it. But what I have noticed is that I have at least found and built up a reliable core group of people, because I noticed that like example, for a lot of people it's like okay, whatever, that's not a big number, but I have noticed over these few years that I've been doing this or whatever, that I at least hit a kind of like a bare minimum threshold of like around 20. I feel like I have a strong core 20 that usually comes around, check out my stuff, whatever, comment, share, whatever the case may be, whatever. And then from there, you know, things will kind of splinter off, and you know, I'll find better audiences depending on what it is I'm talking about, or like if I'm doing like a specific manga or a game review, TV show review, whatever, that might bring more attention because it's, you know, more general or more mass appeal versus a standard podcast episode like this, to where, you know, everybody might not click on it or whatever, but like I said, I kind of have that core group. And that is something that I have found comfort and reliability in, to where, yes, I might not be getting these crazy big numbers on stuff, whatever, but I do appreciate having this core group that I can talk to on a regular basis, that will comment on my videos and stuff, that will DM and message me on Twitter or Instagram, whatever, be like, hey man, I checked out the episode or whatever, hey, I enjoy this topic or whatever, etc., etc. Or they might even mention something that I talked about on their respective YouTube channels or podcasts or whatever the case may be and stuff. So just, like I said, just something I also just wanted to kind of give, use this all to also kind of give a bit of encouragement to those out there that might think like, man, I'm not really getting many people checking out my blog or my podcast downloads or my YouTube views or whatever thing you're trying to measure success on, because just being consistent and having that core base there sometimes might mean more to you. I know it means more to me sometimes than getting the crazy big numbers, especially if it's not people that's sticking around and repeat customers. And so if it's like, okay, hey, cool, yes, this one video out of nowhere, or this one podcast episode got thousands of views or whatever, or thousands of downloads, but then it was like, okay, next episode we're back to five. You know, so, but yeah, so like I said, that's kind of it in a basic nutshell with that topic of just, hey, sometimes we just have to continue being who we are, and hopefully eventually, you know, our audience and fan base or whatever will continue to grow and expand with people who are looking for what you are presenting. And like I said, especially for like in the case of me, to where it's like, I'm not necessarily trying to make a life and career out of this or whatever. This is just something I'm kind of trying to do for fun or whatever. And who knows, maybe someday that might change. But for now, just doing it for fun and just enjoying those connections and stuff I'm able to make with people and stuff like that. So just keep pushing forward and know that just because you might not see people coming through, whatever, that doesn't necessarily mean that there is something wrong with what you're doing. So now going from there and kind of speaking a little bit more specifically, I want to touch on American Fiction first. Okay, so circling back to American Fiction. So speaking specifically just on this movie now, I'm very happy that I went and watched this movie, because it was one, because for one, I enjoy Jeffrey Wright's work. Now, I was very late on discovering him. I really kind of got introduced to him with the role he played in Westworld. And then, of course, he played a fantastic role as one of the kind of like main villains and stuff in Last of Us 2 video, in the Last of Us 2 video game and stuff. So, which, speaking of which, now that I think about it, I wonder, is he going to be in the, it'll be dope if he gets to play his character in the TV show as well. So, but I don't know, we'll see. So like I mentioned earlier, whatever, with this movie basically at the core follows a novelist who writes very well, but his books just aren't taking off, and he ends up diving into black stereotypes and black tropes and stuff at like a super basic level, and it ends up causing things to take off. So now the surrounding story around this, and now I'm speaking specifically on the movie, so might be some mild spoilers for the movie, but so his character, he ends up get into a argument or whatever or something with one of his students, because he's also a professor at a college or whatever. And so there, I think they were talking about some like Black history stuff, whatever. And one of the students, I believe she was a white student or whatever, didn't feel comfortable. I can't remember if it was just written or they were saying it, but I think it was the N-word written on the whiteboard or whatever. And so she didn't feel comfortable with it or whatever. He confronted her on it or whatever. And then he ended up kind of being put on like a administrative leave type of thing, whatever. And so he ends up going back home, whatever, to visit his family. And so it's his older sister, Tracy Ellis Ross, and his mother. And then Sterling Brown is also his other older brother too, whatever. But so he ends up going back home, whatever, visiting family, whatever. And while he's home, they discover that, you know, his mother is basically starting to get early signs of Alzheimer's and stuff, where she's starting to forget stuff, forget people, etc., etc. A tragic event happens. And like I said, just spoilers for the movie. I'm just going to go and say it or whatever. Basically, while he is out at lunch, having lunch, discussing family stuff, whatever, with his sister or whatever, she seemingly has a heart attack and dies right there. And so now he is kind of put in a position to where now he is kind of having to take over the care and well-being of his mother, whom, because he had moved so far away, he's not familiar with too much of what's going on with the family and household expenses and stuff, whatever, because the sister was living with the mom, or they were living together, and the sister was taking care of all the medical bills, all of the basic life bills and stuff, whatever, paying for the in-house maid and all this stuff, whatever. And so basically, like I said, Jeffrey Wright's character, who's known as a Monk, but his name is Thelonious. But Monk is just kind of thrown into this whirlwind situation of like, man, not only did I just lose my sister, but my mother is kind of going through this life-changing situation and stuff, whatever. And that's kind of where, in the background, this book taking off, to where now he's getting all this influx of money that is in turn helping him, being able to help provide for his mother and family and stuff, whatever. But he's also at odds with himself, because it's like, man, the books and stuff that he poured his heart and soul into writing or whatever just wasn't getting any traction, whereas he kind of, what he feels like, stoops down to the lowest level and just throws out this garbage. And now he's getting book deals and TV deals and thousands and millions of dollars, whatever, thrown at him. And so he's kind of had a internal struggle with that throughout the whole movie, of knowing like, hey, this trash is helping me provide and care for my mother. But on the flip side, it's like, man, I'm helping to feed into this lowest common denominator of stuff, whatever. And so I just enjoyed that kind of internal struggle that he was having. Because like I said, I kind of have had it sometimes with my podcast or whatever, to where, you know, certain things that I feel like, man, I like really poured my heart and soul into this thing, whatever, and it gets like little to no traction. And then this other thing that I just kind of just come in, press record, blah, and then stop, record, upload, yay, you know, tons of views or whatever. So, but also, y'all know me, I love stuff that is heavy on family vibes. And of course, you know, I'm not going to get into it again or whatever, but I know a lot of y'all know that my podcast started because of what happened with my mother and sister back to back, where I lost them, kind of like I lost my sister unexpectedly, whatever, and then my mother got sick and then quickly went after that or whatever too. And so that part of the movie really hit and connected with me as well, just because of the situation that Monk was going through in the movie. But like I say, overall, it was a solid movie. I enjoyed how it kind of threaded the needle on having the real life stuff that like really makes you think. Like I said, just like how, you know, like just the themes of like, hey, just the simple stuff sells sometimes, the family drama stuff, whatever. But they also did a solid job of mixing in some comedy and comedic relief moments throughout to kind of help alleviate, so it's not just full heavy all the time. But and I also enjoyed it because kind of was like a kind of like a fourth wall thing, but within the movie itself, to where like when he was first writing that first part of the book, whatever, the father and the story he was writing was played by Keith David, and they were there in front of him acting out the things that he was writing down. And then whenever he would get stuck at a part, the characters would literally look at him and be like, am I really saying that? Or what do I say next? You know, or do we need to redo that again? And so it was kind of funny how just seeing how they kind of use that internal kind of fourth wall breaking thing, whatever, where how his stories literally were kind of coming to life before him and he would change it, then it would replay out or whatever. And even how they handle stuff at the end with the movie and the reveal of, you know, he's not really this hardcore Arthur. Because that's something else I forgot to mention too, is that the pen name that he takes on for this other book, he uses a different name, like an alias. But this person is supposedly a ex-convict that's on the run from the FBI and the government or whatever. And so that's why he doesn't really do public appearances, and he's kind of like in like the shadowy silhouette whenever he does like camera interviews and stuff, whatever. It was just like, it was just like a very thought-provoking and funny movie that actually just like really hit my heart with the family stuff. So, but yeah, American Fiction, definitely recommend it if you're looking for something along those lines. It's some good stuff. So, all right, briefly, I'm gonna just touch on again Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League, because like I said, I have managed to put in 10 hours with this game and I've been having fun. Like I said, yes, this game is far from perfect, but for what it is, I am having fun. Now, I will say, I'm not necessarily saying, hey, go out and spend your $70 plus whatever to play this day one, but either maybe later down the road, when it maybe is on sale or something, or like I said, in my case, whatever, I got it because I had some gift cards, whatever, left over, so I didn't have to pay anything out of pocket for it or whatever. But like I said, I luckily was fortunate enough to get to play in the closed alpha a few months back, and so I already got to kind of get hands on with it. But I did my research and I have an open mind, and so while yes, this isn't the same thing as the Batman Arkham games, it does still have some of that care and attention there within this game from Rocksteady. Because for those who don't know, so Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League, it takes place in the same world as the Batman Arkham series, so Arkham Asylum, Arkham City, Arkham Knight. Well, Arkham Asylum was 2009, Arkham City was 2011, and then Arkham Knight was 2015. And so it's been about 8 years since Arkham Knight came out. And the story of this takes place five years after the end of Arkham Knight. And so you follow the Suicide Squad, which this rendition is composed of Captain Boomerang, Harley Quinn, King Shark, and Deathstroke. So that's who the four playable characters are in the game. So it is a kind of like a co-op style game, though you can play it solo. I've been playing it 100% solo by myself, but you can play up to four people in co-op. And you basically come to Metropolis, where all of the Justice League, for the most part, have been are under a mind control thing from Brainiac. And so the game start off with Green Lantern, Batman, and Superman are already under the influence. Flash and Wonder Woman are free at the beginning of the game, but eventually Flash gets captured and now he's on their side or whatever. And so you are tasked with killing the Justice League, as the name says. Now, the gameplay of it or whatever, pretty straightforward. You're, for the most part, using a variety of guns and stuff. Each of the characters kind of start off with a kind of like a couple of guns that they kind of specialize in. And then they each have different melee attacks and abilities and stuff, whatever. And so I've mainly been playing as Captain Boomerang, though in my case, whenever I'm playing, since I'm playing by myself, whatever, I can at any point in time pretty much just push a button on the D-pad and change and control any of the other characters whenever I want to. But Captain Boomerang is just the one that I've gravitated towards the most, because I just enjoy his traversal and stuff in the game, because he has a Speed Force gauntlet that he got from the Hall of Justice thing or whatever. That's where everybody in the Suicide Squad got some of their gear and stuff, whatever. And so I have a Speed Force gauntlet, so I can throw my boomerang and kind of like teleport or quickly go to wherever it's at or whatever. And so it's kind of really fun to maneuver around the environment and stuff, whatever. Definitely takes some use to kind of like getting used to the rhythm of the traversal and stuff, and kind of like building up your momentum and keeping going and stuff, whatever, and chaining this stuff. But as you play the game and you unlock more skills and stuff, whatever, you get like special takedown abilities and stuff. I had already knew of one because I had got it in the alpha a few months ago, but Captain Boomerang kind of has like this kind of like AOE area to where he'll kind of quickly, using the Speed Force, like bounce around doing damage on everybody within the area for a set amount of time. And then I also have this really cool like single enemy execution, and so it's kind of like this like quick montage of showing me like hitting them, maybe kicking them in the nuts, stabbing them in the face, and then some other attack, whatever. It's funny. I enjoy it every time I get to do it or whatever. But that's kind of like the basic gameplay loop. Now you do get other perks and stuff, whatever, on your weapons. Cause like right now I just got a, ice ability or whatever. So I can freeze, enemies if I melee attack them, if I hold down and charge up my boomerang or whatever, when I hit them with it, it'll freeze all the enemies within a certain area or whatever. I also just got a sniper rifle from Black Mask themed, to where when I shoot an enemy with it, I can't remember like what I got to do to trigger it or whatever, but basically I can shoot an enemy with it or whatever, and it'll freeze them or cause them to go into like a slow motion phase for a period of time. And so that's pretty cool. So like I said, the weapons and stuff, whatever, there is some variety from it. It's more than just the basic baseline. Oh, I'm just shooting with just a basic shotgun or whatever. It's like, no, these weapons have different perks, abilities, like I said, like freezing and other stuff and this slow-mo thing. Now, yes, there are times where things can get crazy, busy, and chaotic, whatever. But I'm still just having fun just zipping around, teleporting, shotgunning, teleporting, single person takedown thing, whatever, building up my meters. It is simple fun. And that's all I can ask for, whatever. And the story has actually been pretty intriguing or whatever, and a lot more going on, because yes, you are trying to hunt down the Justice League or whatever, but getting to see these different characters along the way, and like I said, it's just fun. I know I sound like a broken record saying that, but at the core of it, that is what it is. And it's like, yes, once again, yes, people harping, oh man, I wish it was this, I wish it was that or whatever, but it's not. And either you cool with that, or if you're not down with that, cool, move on, go find something else to complain about, or go play something that you actually want to play, whatever, and let those of us that are enjoying this game, whatever, continue to enjoy it. But yeah, so I just did my boss fight against the Flash and dealt with him and stuff. So, but I will say, I have been, I'm getting more used to it now or whatever, but they definitely don't pull no punches or whatever. This is definitely a R-rated game, to where like people are dying, people are getting taken out brutally and stuff, whatever. And so it is something to just kind of keep in mind or whatever, to where it's like, yes, this is a kind of comic booky game, but this is kind of more on the more mature side of it or whatever, like, so as far as like with the violence and stuff or whatever. But things fit, and I also enjoy the customization and stuff of the characters as well, because my Harley Quinn, she has this very dope kind of like a green and some other color like theme going on with her, instead of like the traditional red and blue, or red and black, whatever. She kind of has some kind of like a green with her hair pulled back in a ponytail with the side of her head shaved, whatever. My Harley Quinn looks super dope. I'm about to share some pictures and stuff on social media later. But yeah, like I said, it is just fun. And the fact that I've already, without even realizing or whatever, put in almost 10 hours just goes to show that or whatever. And it's just been like a really nice kind of like a game to unwind with at the end of the day, to where it's like, man, okay, I've worked all day, dealt with my wife and the kids, and done sports stuff, whatever, all day, practices or whatever. And it's like, hey, okay, I got 30 minutes, whatever, or an hour to spare before I go to bed. Cool, let me hop on Suicide Squad or whatever. Okay, let me pick a mission or whatever, whether it's a main story mission or just some side one. Like, hey, go protect this thing or whatever. And like, yes, there are lots of repetitive parts and stuff to it or whatever, which I get. But I also think about like all the times in Destiny when I'm running through the same areas, shooting the same enemies or whatever, it's all kind of the same. Heck, even with the Batman games or whatever, it is like when you're not in the story stuff or whatever, it's like, yes, you're just fighting waves of street thugs or whatever. And so it's like people are like, man, I wish, where's more of that or whatever? And it's like, well, it's kind of there or whatever. It's just, instead of you doing more hand-to-hand combat or whatever with gadgets or whatever, you're shooting with guns but still using some gadgets and melee weapons and stuff, whatever, and special abilities and stuff, whatever. So it's kind of still there in a sense, but just in a different way. But yeah, so I look forward to continue playing it and stuff, whatever. Like I said, I am in no rush to play this, whatever, because like I said, because of the nature of what this game is, it is something that I plan on just chipping away at for a long while to come. And I'm kind of, that's why I'm glad I got the digital version of it or whatever, because I'm like, for one, there's probably not going to be much of a resale value on this down the road, with it being mainly online. But two, I'm like, that way I just always have it downloaded on my hard drive, and whenever I want to boot it up, it's just there or whatever. But yeah, so that is kind of, like I said, my overall thoughts so far with Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League. But I am very intrigued to continue to play it, and hopefully, probably by the time, I'll probably plan this the rest of the month, and then by the time I'm probably wrapping it up, whatever, the first DLC thing, the Elseworlds thing with the alternate dimension Joker comes into play. And I'm very curious to see that, because I just kind of got my first taste of that stuff within the story, after I dealt with the Flash, whatever, ended up somewhere else with another version of a character that I thought was already gone. And so I was like, oh, okay, intriguing. So, but yeah, overall fun game. Like I said, maybe potentially wait for a sale. But as somebody who didn't have to pay full price out of pocket or whatever, I'm enjoying it. I'm having fun with it. So, last couple of things I want to just shout out or whatever. So, shout out to Helldivers 2. Now, I'm probably not going to play this or whatever, because this one, Helldivers 2, definitely seems like it is for sure more fit for a actual cooperative play or whatever. But it is one of those games that it is just fun to just watch random clips on social media or whatever, or just watch Twitch streams or whatever of just the fun chaos and just the funny situations and stuff whatever that's happening with this game. Because the first Helldivers, I don't think I ever played it, but I know it was kind of like a cult classic. And so it's been very dope watching over the course of this weekend it gaining so much attention and stuff whatever. It's where I think it's already sold 1 million copies over the last, and it just came out I think Thursday or Friday last week. So it's very dope seeing it doing so well so early, and that it's found its community and stuff. So yeah, so shout out to Helldivers 2. Like I said, just wanted to show that some love. So I haven't checked that Foam Stars. I'm probably not, because even though it's free on PS Plus, I had tried the demo for it. Like, I think they did like a demo or a beta or something, whatever, several months ago, last year, whatever. And I started running around or whatever, and I was just like, this just isn't for me. So I just tossed it to the side and then deleted it or whatever. So something else I had downloaded to just try, and I'll say graphically, the game looks great, which, shoot, I forgot to mention that or whatever. Real quick, Suicide Squad. The game looks fantastic. Like, the attention to detail and stuff, whatever, with the character models and stuff, look so dope, super high quality. The music is good. The voice acting is top notch. So I forgot to mention that part of it. Like, visually, that game looks fantastic, like super super good. So circling back, Skull and Bones is coming out, I think this week or next week or whatever, and they did a open demo or whatever for it over this weekend. So I downloaded it or whatever, played maybe like 30 minutes tops or whatever, and I'm done with it. So I played through like the intro or whatever, and I already kind of had a feeling it wasn't going to be my type of game or whatever, and actually playing it proved that it is not my type of game. It is seemingly just a strictly ship combat game or whatever, to where when you're on the ships, you're literally controlling the ship itself or whatever, fighting other ships or whatever. And then there are some parts where you can disembark the ship and go on land to get materials and stuff or whatever, crafting whatever. Now I will say the character models in that game also looked pretty dope whatever, because I got to do the little character creator thing at the beginning of the game whatever, and the characters looked really cool. But like I said, it's just the actual gameplay itself, I was just like, nah, this just isn't for me. So I just stopped playing, like I said, after maybe like 15 to 30 minutes or whatever. So, but that's coming out soon, we'll see where that goes. A game I'm very excited for, but I'm gonna have to hold off on playing or whatever until I get more money and stuff whatever, but Banisher's Ghost of New Eden. This is a kind of like a more action RPG game from Dontnod, which they're the studio that created the original Life is Strange games. They also did Remember Me back on like the PS3 era, as well as I think that game Vampyr or whatever. But I am very, very intrigued to see and learn more about this game. Like I said, it is coming out in a couple of days. So the clock is ticking on it. But it looks like something new and different from them, because it's been a while since they've gotten to go into the like more action heavy stuff, at least that I've gotten to play. So this is very high on my list of things I want to check out. And so because you kind of play as both this husband and wife character, where the wife, something happened to her to where she's basically a ghost, and so you get to control stuff and kind of like the world of the living, the world of the dead and stuff. But yeah, very, very interested and intrigued by this game. I haven't watched too many more trailers of it in a long time, just because, like I said, I'm already sold on it because of who the studio is, and I know how gut-wrenching stuff was with Life is Strange back in the day. So I can only imagine what they might do in this type of game. So, but it is heavy on my list. But don't know if I'm going to try to circle back and finish up Prince of Persia first, or maybe I might dive on this and I'll just kind of finish up Prince of Persia whenever I can. Though I know that that's not too long of a game. So, but yeah, so those are a couple of games I just wanted to shout out and stuff as well. And then I wanted to shout out a couple of manga I had checked out as well before I get out of here. So the first one, it is this one called Kingdom of Quartz, A Kingdom of Quartz. And so this one, super heavy, gives me, whoops, I'm up and dropping stuff, but super heavy gives me Witch Hat Atelier vibes, to where basically you follow this main character, her name is Blue, and she is a Celeste, which is an angel. And so basically this is a world of angels and demons that was split into two, to where, of course, demons were banished to the dark world and then the angels in the light world or whatever. But Blue has these, what is thought of as like cursed black wings and some type of special hidden unknown ability or whatever, but it kind of just follows her journey to wanting to become a archangel, which is basically one of like the highest ranks of angels that protects the royal family and stuff, whatever. And so this first volume, first of all, just like Witch Hat, and that's what kind of like was the first comparison, was the art. The art in this is freaking super dope. It looks so freaking good. But like I said, it is the art, how good the art looks, but also the story and the characters and stuff. It just kind of like really grabs my attention. And even just within, by the end of this first volume, we're already kind of starting to get more of the kind of like supporting cast of characters that's going to be involved in this journey going forward, and seeing what's going on with this mission. Because like I said, just when a story starts off with a bunch of very cool and adorable seemingly kids that are sharing their hopes and dreams of the future together, like, yeah, we're together, we're gonna do da 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 da. And then tragedy strikes and special abilities or some unknown power awakens or whatever. That is my type of stuff. And so I look forward to checking out more of this and hopefully doing a separate review for this too. So that is a Kingdom of Quartz Volume 1. That's going to be coming out later this month. And the other one that I'm checking out, and that I checked out this weekend as well, that is also coming out later this month, and it's also going to have an anime coming out in the fall of this year, so around October time, whatever, called The Blue Wolves of Mibu. Now, this one follows this orphan boy who him and this other kind of like adopted girl live with this older lady who run a restaurant or whatever, and he ends up encountering these two kind of Ronin who are part of like a bigger Ronin group that are kind of like seemingly trying to clean up crime and stuff whatever in the area, but some of the guys in that group kind of seem to have shaky morals and stuff whatever and untrustworthy. Well, he meets a couple of them, and I love this panel here, and I love the attitude and personality of these two guys, but kind of get wrapped up in a situation with these two guys where they kind of were using him and the main character and his sister as kind of like bait to draw out these kidnappers who have been kidnapping kids or whatever lately. And so through this encounter or whatever, the main character ends up going to live and train with them to try to basically become a Ronin himself and to find his own sense of justice and how he can potentially save the world and stuff. So, but yeah, so that was a very dope one. Like I said, the Blue Wolves of Mibu. Like I said, I enjoyed this first volume, but I think I'm gonna just wait for the anime to see how they handle that going forward. But this was a very solid start of that. So, and yeah, I think that's gonna kind of do it with stuff I wanted to touch on today. Like I said, just kind of wanted to do this really quickly because, like I said, mainly just on that topic of simple taste. But yeah, so I think that's gonna do it. I don't think there's nothing else I wanted to shout out or touch on. Let me just double check. Yep, that's gonna do it. Nothing else for me to ramble on. It's getting late. It's almost midnight, and so I want to get this uploaded, and then I'll have this out for y'all sometime tomorrow. But yeah, as always, y'all can find me everywhere at Dennis at Dad Needs to Talk. Feel free to hit me up. You know, reach out. Let me know what you thought of the episode on the topics I talked about with American Fiction and Suicide Squad. And then even the two manga I had mentioned at the end and everything in between. But yeah, feel free to always hit me up. You know, my DMs are open. I'm always open to get emails or even commenting on the YouTube video of this. But yeah, so as always, thank y'all so much for all the love, kindness, and support. It is greatly appreciated. And so, as I always say, treat yourself to something nice. Read some manga. Watch some anime, TV, and movies. And of course, play some video games and live your best life. And with that, I am out. I hope y'all have a fantastic week. And I will catch y'all in the next one. Y'all be easy. Peace.